Chapter 46. Reacher opened his eyes in a desperate, hooded squint and saw Thurman walking toward him. He turned and saw the plant foreman heading in from a different direction. He turned again and saw the giant with the 3-foot wrench blocking his path to the gate. He stood still and waited, blinking, squinting, the muscles around his eyes hurting from clamping so hard. Thurman stopped 10 feet away from him, and then walked on and came close, and took up a position alongside him, nearly shoulder to shoulder, as if they were two old buddies standing together, surveying a happy scene. Thurman said,
"I thought our paths were not going to cross again."
Reacher said, "I can't be responsible for what you think."
"Did you set our police station on fire?"
"You've got a human wall all around the town. How could I have gotten through?"
"Why are you here again?"
Reacher paused a beat, said, "I'm thinking about leaving the state," which was permanently true. Then he said, "Before I go, I thought I'd drop by the infirmary and pay my respects to my former opponents. Tell them, no hard feelings." Thurman said,
"I think the hard feelings are all on the other side."
"Then they can tell me no hard feelings. Clearing the air is always good for a person's mental well-being."
"I can't permit a visit to the infirmary, not at this hour."
"You can't prevent one."
"I'm asking you to leave the premises."
"And I'm denying your request."
"There's only one patient here at the moment. The others are all home now on bed rest."
"Which one is here?"
"Underwood."
"Which one is Underwood?"
"The senior deputy. You left him in a sorry state."
"He was sick already."
"You need to leave now."
Reacher smiled. "That should be your town motto. It's all I ever hear. Like, New Hampshire, live free or die, it should be despair. You need to leave now." Thurman said,
"I'm not joking."
"You are," Reacher said. "You're a fat old man telling me to leave. That's pretty funny."
"I'm not alone here."
Reacher turned and checked the foreman. He was standing 10 feet away, empty hands by his sides, tension in his shoulders. Reacher turned again and glanced at the giant. He was 20 feet away, holding the wrench in his right fist, resting its weight in his left palm. Reacher said, "You've got an office boy and a broken-down old jock with a big wrench. I'm not impressed."
"Maybe they have guns."
"They don't. They'd have them out already. No one waits to pull a gun."
"They could still do you considerable harm."
"I doubt it. The first 8 you sent didn't do much."
"Are you really willing to try?"
"Are you? If it goes the wrong way, then you're definitely alone with me, and with your conscience. I'm here to visit the sick, and you want to have me beaten up? What kind of a Christian are you?"
"God guides my hand."
"In the direction you want to go, anyway. I'd be more impressed if you picked up a message telling you to sell up and give all your money to the poor and go to Denver and care for the homeless." Thurman said nothing. Reacher said, "I'm going to the infirmary now. You are, too. Your choice whether you walk there or I carry you there in a bucket." Thurman's shoulders slumped in an all-purpose sigh and shrug, and he raised the palm to his two guys, one after the other, like he was telling a couple of dogs to stay. Then he set off walking toward the line of cabins. Reacher walked at his side. They passed the security office and Thurman's own office and the 3 other offices Reacher had seen before on his tour, the one marked operations, the one marked purchasing, the last marked invoicing. They passed the first white-painted unit and stopped outside the second.
Thurman heaved himself up the short flight of steps and opened the door. He went inside and Reacher followed. It was a real sickbay. White walls, white linoleum floor, the smell of antiseptic, soft nightlights burning. There were sinks with lever taps and medicine cabinets and blood pressure cuffs and sharp disposal cans on the walls. There was a rolling cart with a kidney-shaped steel dish on it. A stethoscope was curled in the dish. There were four hospital cots. Three were empty, one was occupied by the big deputy. He looked pretty bad. Pale, inert, listless. He looked smaller than before. His hair looked thinner. His eyes were open, dull and unfocused. His breathing was shallow and irregular. There was a medical chart clipped to the rail at the foot of his bed. Reacher used his thumb and tilted it horizontal and scanned it. Neat handwriting, professional notations. The guy had a whole lot of things wrong with him. He had fever, fatigue, weakness, breathlessness, headaches, rashes, blisters, sores, chronic nausea and vomiting, diarrhea, dehydration, and signs of complex internal problems. Reacher dropped the chart back into position and asked, "You have a doctor working here?" Thurman said, "A trained paramedic."
"Is that enough?"
"Usually."
"For this guy?"
"We're doing the best we can." Reacher stepped alongside the bed and looked down. The guy's skin was yellow, jaundice, or the nightlight reflected off the walls. Reacher asked him,
"Can you talk?"
Thurman said, "He's not very coherent, but we're hoping he'll get better."
The big deputy rolled his head from one side to the other, tried to speak, but got hung up with a dry tongue and a dry mouth. He smacked his lips and breathed hard and started again. He looked straight up at Reacher, and his eyes focused and glittered, and he said, And then he paused for breath and blinked and started over, apparently with a new thought, a new subject. He said, haltingly,
"You did this to me."
"Not entirely," Reacher said. The guy rolled his head again, away and back, and gasped once and said,
"No."
And then he stopped again, fighting for breath, his voice reduced to a meaningless rasp. Thurman grabbed Reacher's elbow and pulled him back and said, "We need to leave now. We're tiring him." Reacher said, "He needs to be in a proper hospital." "That's the paramedic's decision. I trust my people. I hire the best talent I can find."
"Did this guy work with TCE?
Thurman paused a beat. "What do you know about TCE?
"A little. It's a poison."
"No, it's a degreaser. It's a standard industrial product."
"Whatever. Did this guy work with it?"
"No, and those that do are well protected."
"So what's wrong with him?"
"You should know. Like he said, you did this to him."
"You don't get symptoms like these from a fistfight."
"I heard it was more than a fistfight. Do you ever stop to reflect on the damage you cause? Maybe you ruptured something inside of him. His spleen, perhaps."
Reacher closed his eyes, saw the barroom again, the dim light, the tense, silent people, the air thick with raised dust and the smell of fear and conflict. He stepped in and jabbed hard and caught the guy low down in the side, below the ribs, above the waist, 250 pounds of weight, punched through the blunt end of a chair leg into nothing but soft tissue. He opened his eyes again and said, "All the more reason to get him checked out properly."
Thurman nodded. "I'll have him taken to the hospital in halfway tomorrow,
if that's what it takes, so that you can
move on with a clear conscience."
My conscience is already clear. If people leave me alone, I leave them alone. If they don't, what comes at them is their problem.
Even if you overreact?
Compared to what? There were six of them. What were they going to do to me? Pat me on the cheek and send me on my way?
I don't know what their intentions were.
You do. Their intentions were your intentions. They were acting on your instructions.
And I was acting on the instructions of a higher authority.
I guess I'll have to take your word for that.
You should join us. Come the rapture, you don't want to be left behind.
The rapture?
People like me ascend to heaven. People like you stay here without us.
Works for me, Reacher said. Bring it on.
Thurman didn't answer that. Reacher took a last look at the guy in the bed, and then stepped away and walked out the door, down the steps, back to the blazing arena. The foreman and the guy with the wrench stood where they had been before. They hadn't moved at all. Reacher heard Thurman close the infirmary door and clatter down the steps behind him. He moved on and felt Thurman follow him toward the gate. The guy with the wrench was looking beyond Reacher's shoulder at Thurman, waiting for a sign, maybe hoping for a sign, slapping the free end of the wrench against his palm. Reacher changed direction, headed straight for the guy. He stopped a yard away and stood directly face to face and looked him in the eye and said,
"You're in my way."
The guy glanced in Thurman's direction and waited. Reacher said,
"Have a little self-respect. You don't owe that old fool anything."
The guy said,
"I don't."
"Not a thing. None of you does. He owes you. You all should wise up and take over. Organize. Have a revolution. You could lead it."
The guy said,
"I don't think so."
Thurman called out,
"Are you leaving now, Mr. Reacher?"
"Yes," Reacher said.
"Are you ever coming back?"
"No," Reacher lied. "I'm done here."
"Do I have your word?"
"You heard me."
The giant glanced beyond Reacher's shoulder again, hope in his eyes. But Thurman must have shaken his head or given some other kind of a negative instruction, because the guy just paused a beat and then stepped aside, one long, sideways pace. Reacher walked on back to the sick deputy's truck. It was where he had left it, with all its windows intact.